What's going on with you guys, man? It's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels, the host of the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. Stick with me. The show is coming up.
Everybody, it's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. This is episode 25 of the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. How everybody doing out there? Appreciate you guys joining me, man, for a new episode. You dig, man? Good morning, good night, good afternoon to all my listeners all over the world, man. I love you guys joining me here each and every week. Keep coming back, and I'm glad that I'm able and privileged to provide you guys with great content, you know, as far as wrestling, man. So I appreciate you guys, man, joining me all over the UK, Germany, Canada, man, all over the states, all my listeners, all my viewers, all over the place, man. Appreciate it very much. You guys, man, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. You dig, man? And also, subscribe to the 1130 Podcast on YouTube, man. But you guys, man, this episode is going to be a very, very dope one, man. Very dope one. I didn't have a guest last week, man. So this week, I got a guest again, man. My man John, aka the Stat King. He's from the True Hill Heat Podcast, you guys. He got his show on True Hill Heat Podcast YouTube channel called Dark Power, where you go over AEW Dark Impact. Pro wrestling, man. Just a bunch of pro wrestling that's going down on Tuesday, man. But also, he's a podcaster and he's from Chicago, Illinois. He's going to be joining me here in just a bit. But you guys, man, like I said, I didn't have a guest last week. So I got a guest this week. So we're going to chat it up and talk some wrestling, man. And yeah, man, this episode is going to be a very, very dope one. And before I get to that, I want to thank everybody who listen to the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts at, man. We're almost close to 1,000 downloads. I appreciate everybody, man, who tune in to listen to me. And also, I appreciate everybody who subscribed to the 1130 Podcast on YouTube, man. Over 800 subscribers. Thank you guys for tuning in each and every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for the 1130 Podcast. And also, you guys for tuning in each and every Friday for Talk Pro Wrestling. And speaking of talking pro wrestling, man, we about to get into talking some pro wrestling, man. But my guy from True Hill Heat Podcast, my guy John, aka the Stat King, from Chicago, Illinois, you guys, is a podcaster. You got a show on True Hill Heat Podcast YouTube channel called Dark Power. John, what's going on with you, buddy?
Not too much. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. You're doing some great work over here on the 1130 Podcast, covering just everything when it comes to WWE, AEW, just Impact, Access when you get a chance. So it's just phenomenal, the work you're doing. And I appreciate you having us.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much for you joining me here on the podcast. Once again, I want to shout out True Hill Heat Podcast. You guys, go check them out on YouTube. But before we dive into everything, my guy John, would you mind introducing yourself or telling me a little bit about yourself before we dive into the podcast?
Sure. So I am I'm a resident of Chicago. I was born and raised in Florida, spent time in New York. I've been a wrestling fan for a long time. There was a time where I wasn't a wrestling fan, as with many people. You know, you fall in and out of love with this thing that we call wrestling. What got me back into it was back in 2010, about a year ago. Not a year ago, 10 years ago, when I saw the buildup for it. Just so happened I was flipping channels, and it was the beginning of 2010, and I was seeing the buildup for Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker in what would be the retirement match at WrestleMania 26. And for me, growing up, I loved Shawn Michaels. And so that's what kind of drew me back in. And then from there, you see Batista and John feuding over the WWE Championship. You see Randy Orton and the split of legacy. You see so many great things, and that's what kind of pulled me back in. And ever since then, I've been a devout fan of wrestling once more, from WWE to AEW to New Japan Wrestling. So anything and everything, I'll always try to spend some time to give it the time of day. So that's basically where my fandom originates from.
Okay, you say you got back into wrestling in 2010. Yeah. What made you, you know, fall off of it?
I think it was just, you know, you get older. You get older as a kid growing up, and you just like different things. You stop liking different things. No particular reason, which is kind of what I think allowed it to grab my attention again so quickly when I did come back to it. So
yeah, that's so interesting. I love hearing people's stories who, you know, of course they grew up, love wrestling, and, you know, they stopped watching it for a minute, you know, and I'm just like, will it be a day where I stop watching the wrestling for a bit? Like, I don't know. Like, I question myself about it sometimes though, but yeah.
Yeah. So. It's funny. Cause I'm 31. So I grew up, when I was watching it, it was still that Hogan era, you know, that early 90s Hogan, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels. And then, I don't know, just somewhere. So in a way for me, I missed the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era. So I had to go back. I went back and started. I was like, okay, I know who some of these people are. I know what some of these names are. Cody Rhodes, I know, like, this last name. I know Orton, this last name. I know Shawn. I know Triple H to a certain extent. Let me go back and let me start seeing what I missed out on. And then I learned, wow, there was this whole thing called ECW. So I had a lot of homework to be able to be where I am today and know the things that I know now. So
hey man, I'm with you, man. I'm 29, I'll be 30 next month. So I grew up, you know, I came in late 98, but mainly 99. So around the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression. So, you know, most of the stuff that I went back on were stuff maybe I didn't, you know, really see or don't remember, or mainly it's like from the early 90s.
Gotcha.
Almost stuff in the 80s. So, man, big fan of wrestling though. But once again, appreciate you joining me here in the wrestling. You also, what made you fall into wrestling?
So for me, I love the stories. I love the storyline aspect. I love great creative. I like the ability, because in you know, like when you read a lot of fiction or books or movies or whatever, slowly over time you can kind of see where plots are gonna go, and okay. You kind of know, like, there's this concept that there are only 7 stories that are ever told, and everything else, how we get to where we are with movies and whatever the case may be, whether it's some indie film or whether it's Avengers, it's all taking one of those 7 stories and tweaking little bits of it. So what I love about wrestling is the fact that they are able to constantly tell one of those 7 stories in a new and unique way on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. Then when you add in the fact that this is incredibly high-level action and athleticism, and these guys, for the most part, these guys and girls, don't have a, oh, cut, let's reshoot. It's all live. It's all got to be done, and you got to be able to play to the crowd and note, like, that aspect of it just fascinates me. What it takes to be able to pull this off at a high level, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Man, I'm right with you. Once I figured out the wrestling business, and I was like, you know, these guys do this 52 weeks out of a year. It's live. You know, like, when people, you know, come and say what they say, oh, it's fake or whatever, man. Bullshit, get away from me. I love this, man. And like you said, man, it's fascinating. Another part, you know, that I'm fascinated about, because I'm really into, like, the digital and filmmaking and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of the camera angles and, you know, the pyrotechnics, man. Like, that also draws me into, of course, the wrestling. Story.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why NXT was at the Full Sail Arena for so long, because they were able to offer a Full Sail College is a audiovisual college. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to offer internships to the students there. So it was a pretty, you know, mutually beneficial agreement. One side is getting experience, you know, the students who are interning, they're getting experience. And I mean, for WWE, you're getting cheap labor, which, I mean, you know, No company is going to turn that down. So it worked out pretty well. But yeah, like, that, the audio aspect, though, that's one of the things that WWE does incredibly well. Even if you don't know what's going on. Like, let's say you're watching a pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Let's say even if you haven't been watching for some time, mm-hmm. the promo videos,
yes, oh,
they
my
get
gosh.
You up to speed. The way yes. they're edited, the way they're cut, yes. the music, just all of it put together, phenomenal. That's something that they have that I will say is unrivaled across any of the other companies. Their production value is off the charts.
Right about that, man. Right about that. But you're here from True Heel Heat. You have a show on your guys' podcast called Dark Power. Can you tell me about Dark Power?
Sure. So Dark Power is the show that covers everything that's happening on Tuesdays. So on Tuesdays, we have AEW Dark, their YouTube show of just dark matches. And then we also have Impact Wrestling on Access TV. And finally, now NWA has come back and they are partnering with the United Wrestling Network to have a weekly TV show. It is technically speaking a pay-per-view. You do have to pay for it, but they have a weekly show now that also is on Tuesdays. So Dark Power actually just finished filming this week's episode of Dark Power earlier today, but it covers all of the events that happens on those shows and where they're building towards. So for example, this Saturday is Impact Bound for Glory, their WrestleMania pay-per-view, and we'll be covering that on Dark Power. I gave my preview of what I think is gonna happen. And also on our YouTube channel for True Heels, we also do roundtable discussions where we break down different pay-per-views after they happen. So I'll be on the pay-per-view roundtable for Bound for Glory. So yeah, a lot of fun stuff on Dark Power.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Like you said, you got a Bound for Glory coming up. I'm going to ask you about Bound for Glory and sure. also NWA a little bit later on, because I got into NWA earlier this year and seeing how they put together that show is so amazing. You know, it's kind of, you know, you get the old school feel with it, with no music, you know, the promos, you know, it's all old school. I'm really loving it. Guys like from Eddie Kingston, who's now in the AEW, was there, Ricky Starks. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of Ziggy Dice, you know, Trevor Murdoch, who was a part of, you know, a tag team back in like 2007 in WWE. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think he just won like the NWA title, some type of title, I think he won.
Yeah, he beat Aaron Stevens, who you would know as Damian Sandow.
Yeah,
he beat him for the national title, which is one of their mid card titles.
Yeah, that's what it was called. Yeah, I was really digging that. You know, Aaron Stevens. You know, when he was doing his thing. You know, so I'm really a big fan of it. You know, Thunder Rosa. You know, Nick Aldis.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah, and I didn't know they came back with, I think, you know, you said United Wrestling Network with the pink
news.
So yeah, man, they're doing their thing. I really love it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how they're building it out with coming back on UWN. UWN is just a it's basically a collective of different indies. And so what UWN does is they feature matches from different indies. So like, for example, we've had the West Coast Pro Wrestling title that's on Alexander Hammerstone, who's also an MLW. He was defending that title a couple weeks ago on this show. And so they had Future Stars of Wrestling, their women's champion. She was defending their title on the show last week, or it might have been the week before. But they bring people together from different walks of life, so to speak, from different promotions, and they kind of just throw everything together into a blender and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to showcase things from all around the country. So it's a really cool development of how they do things.
Yeah, man. I like it. I really like it. You also, like you said, cover AEW Dark. And I want to give you thoughts on this right now, because I watch AEW Dark, of course, every Tuesday. And before I say what I'm about to say, I want to say shout out to all my independent pro wrestlers, ring announcers, everybody who's been on the show and stuff like that. But I just want to say this. Do you feel as though AEW Dark can be a better show than what it is?
Yes, and also no. So yes, in the sense that there are ways to have storylines that happen on Dark and are contained on Dark. There are also, because normally what happens on Dark is it's just matches, or it's a match that's designed to hype you up for something that's happening the next day. So, like, for example, we saw Jungle Boy having a win. We saw Wardlow picking up a win. We saw Phoenix picking up a win, all because they're a Colt Cabana picking up a win, all because they're in the Eliminator tournament on the next night on AEW. So I think what they can do is they can do more storylines that are on Dark itself. A great example would be everything that's happening between Scorpio Sky and Shawn Spears. Almost all of that is happening exclusively on Dark. And I think that's a really cool thing. And the what hinders them is that a lot of these talents, they're working on a booking-by-booking deal. And so since they're not actually signed to AEW, and they're trying to give, you know, they're trying to give some exposure as well as paychecks during this pandemic to independent talent, it's harder to make storylines for those people because they may not know whether or not they're going to get them in the next couple weeks. It's a little bit trickier to do that. I think once things settle down a little bit, and, you know, God knows when that's going to be, but once things kind of smooth out a little bit more, I think they are going to be able to expand Dark further than they have previously. I mean, if we remember what Dark used to be, which was literally the Dark matches before Dynamite and after Dynamite, it was an AEW contracted talent versus an AEW contracted talent. That's kind of gone by the wayside. So maybe down the road, they'll be able to get back to more of that. And some of these matches mean more because, for example, when yesterday on Dynamite, Britt Baker faced Kylan King. Now, when they show Kylan King's record and it says 0-11, she's had 11 losses on Dark. Like, there's no reason for me or the viewer to take Kylan King seriously as a threat to Britt Baker. So they have to find a way to kind of get some of them wins without making actual AEW talent look as weak, if that makes sense. But at the same time, it then shoots them in the foot because probably the best storyline on Dark is Peter Avalon versus Brandon Cutler.
Did you just take it out? Did you just take the words out of my mouth? Like, man, you took the words out of my mouth, man.
It's on BTE, it's on Dark, but the problem is they're both like 0-14. So exactly. why do I feel bad for them not getting their win when I see like Sean Dean, who is a phenomenal talent, is like 0-12? Like, why does that doesn't matter? Like, Avalon bitching about or griping about, you know, taking loss after loss doesn't mean as much when I see other people having that same problem and they're still coming out week to week trying to get that first win. There are ways that they can do it. I want to see how maybe down the road they're able to do it, because I just think with the way things are right now, it's going to be a long time before they're able to really improve upon Dark the way they want to.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. I think it could be a way better show. It doesn't have to have 12 matches every single week, you know.
That's true.
And with the main guys that you do have, I think you can, you know, push that storyline that, you know, on Dark, like you said, Peter Avalon, you know, them going back and forth, you know, they haven't won a victory. I thought it was kind of interesting when they did have the one-on-one match. It was a double count out. Like, I thought that was like the weirdest thing, but I like that. And like, yeah, the Shawn Spears and the Scorpio Sky storyline that's on Dark, that's cool. But the, you know, the guys that you do have, let's have storyline on Dark and don't have to be 13 to 12 matches every single week, because half of the matches be 2 to 3 minutes, or, you know, like,
that's true. That's true. I absolutely agree with you there. And
And I got, like I said, I'll be having independent pro wrestlers like Eddie Torres, who were on AEW Dark. You know, just a bunch of talent who was here on the podcast. And like I said, yeah, you got those guys and they helping out independent wrestlers. That's cool. But for the guys that you do have, I think they could put more into to make it, you know, a very more interesting show than just wrestling matches.
So I think one of the best things that they could do for AEW Dark is to have so Peter Avalon and Cutler had a match, went to double countout. Then they had another match and it was a double disqualification because Peter hit Cutler with that polyhedron die, and Cutler hit Peter with the book, with one of the librarian books, at the same time. So they caused a double disqualification. Now they're saying that they're going to find – so then they had on BTE, being the Elite, they had a segment where Tony Khan had a sit-down and they did a press conference, and they said they're going to have a match and they're going to figure out a way to have a definitive winner. I think that this match should be on the buy-in for Full Gear. And if it's not – and I think even if they want to go all the way, like to really kind of put some momentum behind Dark, I would actually put the match – on Full Gear, and I would say, hey, because Cutler can go in the ring, Avalon can go in the ring, it doesn't have to be a long match, but you show that things that happen on Dark have consequences in the larger scheme of AEW. I think that would be a phenomenal way to get viewers to AEW Dark and to give more attention, because once you have higher and higher viewer numbers, they have to put better quality matches on. They have to put better storylines on there. They have to develop what it is that Dark represents for the company.
You're right about that, man. You mentioned being the Elite and Tony Khan was on there and they both sitting down. I gotta check out being.
Oh yeah, it's actually a pretty funny. This week's episode. It was a pretty funny exchange.
Yeah, I got to check that out. Well, we're going to move on here on the 1130 podcast. Well, we was just talking about independent pro wrestlers, man. And I asked you before the show, are you into independent wrestling? Have you heard of Game Changer Wrestling?
Yeah, GCW.
Yeah, man. They are doing some crazy stuff, man, and it's good. And I want to ask you, have you heard of the Social Distance match?
Janela was involved in that,
yeah,
right?
Joey Janela. Yeah, Joey Janela and Jimmy Lloyd is involved in that. And also the Invincible Stan versus the Invincible Man.
That I don't think I know about. That one
Them two and also Joey Janela versus the Invincible Man. When you get a chance, and everybody who's listening, please. I was chatting with my man Sean O'Brien, who worked for Game Changer Pro Wrestling and our Paradigm Pro Wrestling. Shout out to him. He got me on to a lot of more GC Game Changer Wrestling. And also shout out to Joey Janela, man, because the fact that he could pull this off in a ring with an invisible man that he's wrestling is actually phenomenal, man. So everybody who's listening, and also you, my man Stat King right here, when you get a chance, please check that out. That and absolutely, the Invisible Man. Really, please check it out. But like I said, we're gonna move on here. To some WWE sort of. You expressed your feelings about WWE, not really watching it or liking it. Can you explain? Yeah. Of course, WWE seems like they're going through a phase right now where a lot of fans are tuning out. Can you tell me the reason why you think that's the case?
I think it's because AEW has gained traction. I think that having a alternative to WWE has done wonders when it comes to showing that WWE has to evolve. They have to start looking at the product that they're putting on television and seeing what are the deficiencies, what are the things we do right, how can we improve on it? And maybe that requires Vince stepping down, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it requires him ceding some control to somebody else, maybe it doesn't. But at the same time, WWE is experiencing record profits, record success. They signed, the Fox deal is $250 million a year. Unless the ratings dip to such a point that that contract is now in danger, there's really no reason for WWE to do anything. And so I can understand why people, because it's kind of a cause and effect, like second order effects, like cause and effect, like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the low ratings that is the bad product that's causing the fans to leave, or the fans leaving and there's no change to the product and it's causing this just a feedback loop into itself because they have no real reason to change? So for me personally, I see stories and just things that happen that don't make sense. And I also see things where I see what could have been. So for example, most recently, we just had the WWE draft and we had our tag champions from the two brands switch. to me, I would have been having either matches for the tag titles at Hell in a Cell so that we can have an organic way of putting the titles back on their proper brand. We know that Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are being brought to Raw in order to have a program with Retribution. We know that that's happening because there's issues between Mustafa Ali and Kofi Kingston dating back to the fact that Kofi is the one who replaced Mustafa Ali when Ali got injured, and that's why Kofi, that's not why Kofi Mania happened, but it's what got the focus on Kofi that allowed Kofi Mania to grow.
I don't want to cut you off, but I want you to continue. That's a really good way. I thought maybe Kofi Kingston and Xavier came to Raw for the Hurt Business.
No. I mean, they might have. They very well might have. But one of the key things that's going to happen is Retribution and Mustafa Ali. That's why when the draft was happening and they announced, Kofi and Xavier coming over, Mustafa Ali tweeted, "Welcome, Kofi."
Oh wow! I didn't know that.
Yeah, That is now. Granted, I'm a Mustafa Ali fan. I'm interested in knowing like what's happening with him the most, or out of many of the WWE talents. So what I would have done, and this is just like a simple thing, would have been to have Kofi and Xavier defending the Raw SmackDown Tag Team Championships at Hell in a Cell, knowing that if they lose, they're still going to be on Raw, but now they're no longer champions, obviously. I would have had Retribution cause them to lose. And then the next night on Raw, when Kofi's like, "Why are we having problems with Retribution?" Mustafa Ali can lay the groundwork and say, "Look, you took my spot. The whole thing about Retribution is seeing justice done, is putting things right. This company is doing things wrong. This company is corrupt." You know, with that amazing promo he cut, he was like, this corrupt company couldn't figure out how to make a buck off of somebody named Mustafa Ali. So when you have things like that, that would have been so much better. Instead, what did they do? They had Street Profits give Xavier and Kofi the belts, and Xavier and Kofi gave Street Profits the titles. There's so many obvious different storylines and things that are just ways to enhance the product. And that tag title match would not have to be a long title match. In fact, the shorter, the better. Because what you could do is when you have Kofi and Xavier lose, and you do it in a short fashion, you can then have Kofi reference the squash that happened with Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
And he can say, "Why is it that this is happening to me?" And then Mustafa Ali can say, "Happening to you? Look at what happened to me." Because the heel has to be right in their mind always. It's little story things like that. And when I realized that WWE doesn't, if something on WWE television happened 6 months ago or even a year ago, for the most part, WWE acts as though it never happened. And they don't want you to remember. And so you'll have sometimes people working with other people when a few months ago they had problems with each other. And that kind of just, that continuity, it's a big continuity problem that, I don't know, just for me, it didn't really sit too well. So that's why I was kind of building towards a point where I wasn't interested in WWE anymore. And then on a personal level, during the height of the pandemic, you have people who have a very specific set of skills, right? These are, for argument's sake, they are actors who are stunt people. That's if you want to like condense what wrestling is, it's acting and it's stunt work combined at the same time on a live pace. These people aren't necessarily going to be able to find jobs outside of wrestling unless they have other skills that they've developed over the years. Maybe they've gone to school for something, whatever the case may be. WWE had the money to keep all these people on the rosters, on the payroll. They opted to let people go when they didn't need to, and they did it in a moment where the entire world was suffering. For me, that just didn't sit right with me. And on top of that, when you remember that a lot of these people are treated not that well. Like they're supposed to be independent contractors. They're supposed to be getting 1099s, and you know there's supposed to be certain laws that apply as to how the company can tell them you can do this, you can do that, but you can't do this, you can't do that. And you see what WWE does, how they control these talents. I mean, most recently with everything going on with the Twitch and YouTube and all those sorts of things and Cameo, all of that just didn't sit right with me. And so I decided, you know, I'm not going to be able to continue to watch WWE. Now, I have the benefit, as do your viewers, as is everybody paying attention to this channel, to this podcast, we have the benefit of having podcasts like the 1130 podcast, like True Heels, that will cover all of these things. So you don't necessarily need to watch. You can still know what's going on with your favorite superstar, your favorite wrestler, whoever they may be. For me, Mustafa Ali, I still know what's going on because of podcasts like 1130 and like True Heels.
Hey, man, that's what's up, man. You just broke that down. That was good. That was really, really good. I like that, man, the whole Mustafa Ali, because I thought it was so weird that he's got – and do you watch WWE's The Bump?
No, but I know what's happening.
You know, okay. Yeah. Billy Ray was on there, and he was also talking about the fact that the Street Profits in the New Day swapped titles. He didn't like that either. And I was talking about it last week. Just remember, I didn't have a guest on this podcast last week. It was just me. I was talking about it. I didn't like how they just swapped titles. They could have came up with something. And the fact that you just said, well, Street Profits, you know, they come in the Raw. They had the New Day had the SmackDown tag team titles. But then we already knew that the Street Profits also were going to SmackDown too. So
yeah.
At Hell in a Cell, they would lost the titles to somebody from SmackDown also, just as the way the New Day did it as well?
I mean, you know, actually what would have been really interesting is if they had kept them on Street Profits.
Okay.
So hear me out. What's the next pay-per-view right after Hell in a Cell? Survivor Series. What's Survivor Series all about? Brand supremacy. So then you could have people on SmackDown questioning the loyalty of Street Profits, saying, "Hey, you're on SmackDown now, but you're holding the Raw Tag Team Championships."
That's good.
Are you with Raw or SmackDown?
That's good. That is good. That is really. I like it.
That's what I'm saying. It's simple things that they can come up with, but instead they just had two teams just hand the titles over. That makes the titles look like they're nothing.
I like that. I really do. And Mustafa Ali. I was mentioning The Bump also. Mustafa Ali was on there talking about how he wanted to do something to sink his teeth in, to tell a story, and that's the big thing he wanted to do. So yeah. With this whole retribution in the New Day, it seemed like, you know, they can do that right there. You know, that would be really, really cool. Really, really cool, man. We're going to move on here on the 1130 podcast. You said you're a big fan of Shawn Michaels, right?
Yes.
Big fan of Shawn Michaels. Okay, you down to play a game here on the podcast?
Oof. All right, let's see what we got.
Okay, man. Let me try to make it easier for you. But we're going to play a game here on the podcast. It's called Are You a Fan or Nah? So, you know, it's a game of Shawn Michaels, and we're gonna play a game, okay? The last guest didn't do too great with the Shawn Michaels question, so let's see if you're a big fan of Shawn Michaels. All right. In 2005, Shawn Michaels needed a partner to take on Muhammad Ali in The Rock. Who was Shawn Michaels' partner?
That was Hunter, wasn't it? That was the DX reunion?
One more guess.
Wait, hold on. It was Hogan.
Yeah.
It was Hogan.
Hogan.
That took me a second. Because I'm thinking that's right around the time that DX reunites. But no, that's the Hogan. That's Hogan coming back.
Yeah. Okay, who was Shawn Michaels' last opponent on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, man. And no, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. And, of course, it was, you know, the final Raw before, like you said, it drew you back in. You know, Shawn Michaels was leading to his retirement match with The Undertaker at Monday Night Raw. At WrestleMania. But his last match on Monday Night Raw was against.
I'm still drawing a blank, man. Wow.
Okay. Kane.
Kane. That would make sense. That would make sense, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. HBK was earned the Mr. WrestleMania nickname. Who was his first WrestleMania opponent?
Oh, shit. Jeez, I'm doing horrible on this. I don't know why I keep blanking on this. His first WrestleMania. Was it with the Rockers? As a team with the Rockers?
No, it was a solo match. Solo match at WrestleMania 8.
Remember this from life of me right now. Wait. Tito Santana.
Tito Santana.
There we go.
HBK won a Slammy Award for Double Cross of the Year in 2013 due to the Double Cross.
Well, I want to say Daniel Bryan.
Boom. All right. There you go. Who was Shawn Michaels' opponent at WrestleMania 21?
That's not, is that? Oh, Cena. No, not Cena. I'm thinking of the.
Yeah, that was
it. Oh, wait, no, yeah. That, Kurt Angle. It's Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21.
The submission match.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels won Match of the Year in 2008. Who was it against?
Jericho? Go with Jericho.
It was against Ric Flair. Ric Flair.
Okay.
HBK had back-to-back matches of the year. Who was his opponent against?
I'm gonna go with Undertaker on this one. I feel like that's
Undertaker.
Safest bet there.
Yeah, Undertaker. Oh, well, you did good. Seems like you're a big fan of Shawn.
I gotta I'm gonna have to go back and watch some stuff. It's been a while.
It's cool. But you guys, man, I got my guy John here from True Hill Heat Podcast. You guys, sit tight. We're gonna take a really, really quick short commercial break. And when we come back, we're gonna chat some more wrestling here on the other side. We'll be right back here on the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling.
When it comes to growing your podcast, it's tough to know where to start. That's why Anchor gives podcasters the tools they need to make each episode better than the last. Now, Anchor Analytics includes new stats from Spotify to help you better understand who's listening and what they like about your show. With charts that let you see how far people are making it into each episode and where they're dropping off, you can plan your podcast around the content that performs best. Hover over to see how many people are tuning into specific segments and learn what hooks your audience by comparing the average listening time across multiple episodes. Using anonymized demographic data from Spotify, take a granular look at the age and gender of your listeners to start tailoring your content or targeting new audiences. Track analytics from multiple platforms and Spotify insights. Everything you need to grow your podcast all in one place with Anchor.
Hey, you guys, welcome back here to the 1130 Podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling. I got my guy John here from True Hill Heat Podcast. We're here chopping it up, talking some pro wrestling. Well, before the break, we was playing a game of Shawn Michaels. Are you a fan or not? And of course, Shawn Michaels now resides under the NXT umbrella. I got to ask, what's your thoughts on NXT?
So I like the presentation of NXT. I like how they have over the years mixed a lot of the independent style, the ROH, PWG style with WWE style, and putting that kind of together to try to find something that appeals to the type of fan that is, I mean, now kind of watching AEW. Like, that's who they wanted to make sure that they retained. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that. And moving to the USA Network brought a new set of challenges. I think they've done pretty well against those challenges. And overall, I like having somebody like Sean on the roster when it comes to the behind the scenes work, because he just has that wealth of experience. He's anything and everything that you can think of, he's done. So he has the ability to coach these guys and teach them and show them different things that they may not be used to. I know when it came to AEW, people like Cody, John Moxley and Chris Jericho, people like them, they were teaching some talents who had never been on TV before, hey, this is where you got to look because this is where hard cam is. They were teaching them all those different aspects. And having for NXT somebody like Shawn Michaels, some of these guys and gals never really were on TV like that. Or if they were, when it was an independent show, they had cameras, but they weren't playing to the cameras. They were playing solely to the crowd. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to NXT, when it comes to a show that's on cable television, yeah, you might have 10, 12, 13,000 people in the crowd if this is a regular, you know, show before the pandemic, but really your audience is that camera. And so having somebody like Sean to be able to show the people on the roster where to look, how to act, make sure that when you hit a finisher, you're positioned in a certain way, that does volumes when it comes to getting these people TV ready.
Right about that. I feel as though right now NXT is doing well. You know, I liked it on the network. I felt as though the WWE network was mainly, you know, for NXT. The fact that, you know, it comes on, I think, what was it, Thursday nights before they moved to Wednesday nights. So now I feel as though the NXT title is cursed. I think it's been cursed.
Oh, man.
Adam Cole lost it, but even though I'm a big fan of his, I think it's been cursed since he lost it. Then we had Keith Lee win it. After he win it, he had to relinquish the North American title just so other guys can have opportunities. Why couldn't he be a double champion? Then Keith Lee lose the title to Karrion Kross, the big guy they was hyping up to be a big superstar and everything. Fine ass intro and everything. Then to come to find out, he get injured, so now he has to relinquish the title. Now Finn Balor gets the title in an awesome match with Adam Cole, but now Finn Balor, man, he got a fucked up jaw. So now, you know, I just feel as though the NXT title, man, is really cursed right now. But, I'm looking forward more to it, but I'm digging it, though. Another thing I'm really digging with NXT, I don't know if you're familiar with, is the Drake Maverick and Killian Dane storyline.
They're coming. It's like a strange tag team kind of thing. They're coming together, right? Yeah. That's.
I'm really digging it. You know, Killian Dane don't like the music. He don't like anything. And Drake Maverick is just
He's happy to be there, man.
that's the most entertaining thing right now in NXT. And another thing that took place this past Wednesday on NXT at the end. I thought it was pretty strange because it was supposed to have been Undisputed Era's. Supposed to have been taking on Breezango for the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Undisputed Era is getting taken out majority of the night. So now it's Oney Logan and Danny Burch taking on Breezango. So Oney Logan and Danny Burch, shout out to them. They won the tag team titles. And come to find out, I believe it was Pat McAfee who took out the Undisputed Era. I thought that was very interesting. What was your thoughts on that?
So I'm not always a fan of celebrities being involved in wrestling because a lot of times the celebrity has to win. Mm-hmm. So I think that they did it very well in having Adam pin Pat McAfee back when they had their match. What I liked about this is that it shows that that match was not a one-off. Pat McAfee, you know, is not just going to be a commentator or a pre-show analyst person. He is going to be getting in the ring more, even if it's just as being a manager or a valet, you know, for Burch and Lorcan. And in a way, we don't think about it, but what he did for Burch and Lorcan is incredible. These are two guys who have been trying to get the NXT titles, tag team titles, for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years. I think, what was it? 2018, TakeOver Chicago here. The opening match was Burch and Lorcan versus the Undisputed Era. And phenomenal match. But Burch and Lorcan always fall short. So to have somebody like Pat McAfee help them, and now McAfee can help be maybe a voice for them as a manager, that I think is a really cool aspect. That's a nice twist on the tale. And I want to see where they go with it. Are they going to reveal fully that maybe McAfee was the person who paid off Rich Holland to attack Cole? I don't know. It'll be interesting. Especially now that Rich Holland, maybe this is all just being done on the fly because Rich Holland got injured.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, so like maybe they had to kind of book on the fly, and they said, you know what, McAfee makes sense. Let's do something there. We already have something built in. Let's bring this guy in for that. So I like it. I like it, and I want to see where they go with it, especially with what Halloween Havoc is next week, and then they're going to be having more takeovers before the end of the year. So see how it goes.
Yeah, I was just asking. I think you just said, yeah. Did you see that gruesome injury?
Yeah,
from Rich Holland. Oof. Yeah, man, that was. I didn't understand why, you know, it went down like that. But once they showed the replay, I was like, oh man, I feel real bad for him. Yeah. You know, he was really getting, you know, and I like him too. You know, he's from NXT UK, so I was really digging him. So yeah, man, I feel real bad for him that, you know, that time was real gruesome injury. But we're gonna move on here. The Hurt Business is, of course, on Monday Night Raw, and you were talking. Well, I was saying that the main reason I thought the New Day came to Monday Night Raw was the feud with, you know, the Hurt Business. You put the Hurt Business over a little bit more, and they will want, you know, eventually wind up winning the Raw Tag Team titles off of the New Day. But since the Hurt Business is doing well, do you feel like there should be a woman in the Hurt Business, or no, it's just fine as it is? And also, what's your thoughts on the Hurt Business?
I like the concept of the Hurt Business. I think, to be fair, you know, like this is, as we're talking about, you know, seven stories, that everything is just a variations of it. This really is the Beatdown Clan from TNA, from Impact. But what I like about it is that they are kind of expanding it by having, you know, Cedric in it, by having Shelton in it. Obviously, people who weren't in Impact at the time when the Beatdown Clan was there, but having a larger base of more people gives them options for more storylines. So I like that MVP is pushing behind the scenes for talent that may have been overlooked, and that's really not a may have been overlooked, has been overlooked in people like Bobby Lashley, in people like Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, to have those moments where they can really shine. So that's something that I like about how the Hurt, what the Hurt Business is, what it represents, and what it can be. What I think, where I think they need to improve is, yeah, maybe having a feud with New Day, maybe having feuds with Retribution, and doing that where these teams are able to get over more and more through the wins. The problem is that if you help Hurt Business, you hurt Retribution. And if you help Retribution, you hurt Hurt Business. So maybe to your point, New Day is somebody that you can put in there so that they're able to help share the load or bear the brunt about, hey, this is now a three-way kind of dance to determine who is the strongest faction. And that's actually going to be really interesting because no matter what happens, New Day has a numbers disadvantage. So so I think a question should be, is New Day going to have to recruit? Is New Day going to have to look for somebody that may not be, we wouldn't think of New Day having to add somebody, but they always had Big E. Now they don't have Big E. So I kind of, that's also an interesting thread. Maybe they might pull on that and say, where does this go? How do Kofi and Xavier now have to deal with not having the powerhouse of the New Day with them? So I think there's, it's kind of a murky realm of where could this all go? And that's where I think somebody like Keith Lee really has a potential to fit in. I don't remember now with the draft. Did he stay on Raw?
Yeah.
Or did he stayed on Raw? Then even better. If he stayed on Raw, then that's somebody that they also can try to recruit. Because think about it, he fits in on every single one of those three factions. He fits in on Retribution because Mustafa Ali can turn to him and say, hey, you know, you were NXT champion. You got called up, your music changed, your look changed, and now you're floundering. Before anything gets worse, join me. MVP can look at Keith Lee and say, look, young man, I know how this game works. I've been around the world. You've been around the world. You're a former, you know, I mean, obviously they're not going to reference it, but you're a former PWG champion. I'm the inaugural IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Like, we have been around the world. Come with me. Look at what I've done for Bobby. Look at what I've done for Shelton. Look at what I've done for Cedric. I can help you. And then the babyface team can say, but Keith, why would you want to join people who are evil? Why would you want to join people who are going to hurt somebody? Right. Why not join New Day? So I think that'll be pretty interesting. But yeah, maybe Hurt Business does need a woman. I'm not sure who that would be. Who would you put in there?
Naomi?
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. You know, I think they dropping the ball right now on Naomi. But speaking of women here in pro wrestling or in WWE, how do you feel about, because I voiced my opinion about this on the podcast, how do you feel about Sasha already being back on Monday night, on SmackDown right now, feuding with Bayley after Bayley put a chair around her neck and basically crushed her throat or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's back here on SmackDown now, as if it didn't happen about a month ago. I said on the podcast last week how, you know, your favorite wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels would get crushed and his neck be out for 3 months. You know, they would be telling, you know, a story. You know, Bayley get her neck crushed, now she's back, you know. Like, come on, like, no storytelling? You know, I wanted to see this milk out.
Yeah,
I want to see Sasha and Bayley right now.
I mean, you know, we don't even need to go as far back as Shawn. We can look at AEW and Cody. Cody got his ass handed to him by Brody in a horrible squash match. And he was off of TV, and, like, you didn't even hear him or whispers of him or anything like that for a month. Here with Sasha, I do think they may have rushed her back. I think the problem is that Bayley, because she's already been champion for so long, they kind of didn't have many people for her to work with. And maybe that's something they could have addressed through the draft, to like bring somebody over to kind of tide them over. Because, I mean, obviously, if you do something quick for Hell in a Cell, okay. Then at Survivor Series, you know she's going to face the Raw Women's Champion, Asuka, if it is still Asuka by then, who knows. But she's going to do that. And then December, you could have at the end of December, maybe as we're celebrating the beginning of the new year, the final episode or whatever the case may be, you could bring Sasha Banks back. Now, on the flip side, I also understand from a marketing perspective why they did it. Not only is Bayley versus Sasha an amazing feud, especially because now this is the first time where the roles are reversed. Sasha is the face and Bayley is the heel. But in a couple days, The Mandalorian Season 2 is going to be available on Disney. And Sasha Banks has a role on The Mandalorian Season 2. She is acting as somebody there. So on that show. So being able to promote that and being able to play off of that, if somebody is watching The Mandalorian and they recognize Sasha Banks and they say, well, what's she doing on SmackDown these days? And they tune back and she's not there. Or they have the ability for her to do interviews talking about The Mandalorian and plug SmackDown. And she can say, well, if you liked the action on Mandalorian, wait till you see what I do to Bayley, this person who betrayed me, but she's not there. Then you're kind of dropping the ball. So I can see both sides of it. I can see from a storyline perspective why she should not have been brought back so soon. But then from the business side of it, I can see, oh no, she's got to be on TV. So I mean, I think they just went with, you know, you follow the money at the end of the day. So
man, you're right about that. What'd you think about the Tribal Chief?
So I think this is I think this is the best work Roman's ever done in his career thus far, without a shadow of a doubt, even taking into account everything that he did with The Shield when they first debuted, and the, you know, going into WrestleMania, the feuds that they had with the Wyatt family, that six-man tag match before that WrestleMania, and then coming out of it, the feuds with Evolution, and then the betrayal, and then going onwards to facing Brock and becoming the big dog and doing all of that. This, I think, is by far the best Roman Reigns that we have ever seen, simply because it feels as though this is who Joe Anunoki has wanted to be this entire time. And that's something that I really like. When you see that in the performer, that they believe that they are who they are, that's incredible. And when that is able to come across, it takes certain segments and takes certain matches and it catapults it to something we will always remember. When you have somebody like, say, in Impact, I know you're not a, you don't watch a lot of Impact, but in Impact, Deonna Purrazzo believes that she is who she is. She believes that she is the best technical wrestler in the world, the best female technical wrestler in the world. And she proves it, and she exudes that confidence. Eric Young really believes that he is a world-class maniac as the Impact World Champion. Roman Reigns knows he is the Tribal Chief, and not just because of he believes it. It's because everything has proven that to him. How could Jey Uso be the Tribal Chief? WWE has been behind Roman Reigns since the start. How could Jey Uso be the Tribal Chief? All of the promo videos we've seen have reinforced that even from a young age, Roman was the big dog, no pun intended. So knowing that and having that behind him, the character, the person, the actual person of Roman Reigns, knowing WWE has invested so much in me, I am the guy. I put down The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I beat John Cena at No Mercy in 2017. I am the Tribal Chief. It just adds that level of confidence to what he's saying and what he's doing. That phenomenal work.
Right about that, man. Really, really right about that. What's your thoughts on Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss? Oh, before I ask that question, before I go there, yeah, Deonna Purrazzo was one of the many superstars who was released in that Black Wednesday. So yeah, she's really doing her thing in Impact. When I get a chance to see it, I really love how the fact that Eric Young went back to Impact and now he's the Impact champion. You know, they didn't do nothing with him in WWE at all. I'm talking about nothing. So I'm really loving that though. But yeah, what's your thoughts on the Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss story?
I think that it is a culmination of a lot of great groundwork that they've laid for a long time. This tease. Now, I don't think she is supposed to actually be Sister Abigail, but the tease of Sister Abigail, the unknown quantity, dating all the way back to, 2014 when he made his debut from NXT to Raw. Mm-hmm. From that point onwards, we've always had this wondering of who is this Sister Abigail? Now we see him with Alexa Bliss. We can see the real corruptive power of Bray Wyatt, of The Fiend. When he first burst onto the scene from NXT to Raw, he already had the Wyatt family with him. We didn't really see his ability to corrupt somebody. And then even later in, 20... When he had Daniel Bryan for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
It was a very temporary thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, now granted, it was because WWE realized, oh shit, we can't have Daniel Bryan as a heel because they didn't want to have him as a heel.
Yeah, they did.
But we didn't really see that true corruptive aspect. And with Alexa Bliss, we are seeing that. With The Fiend, we are seeing that because, you know, I've seen so many of those theories of with depending on which glove he uses to put that mandible claw on somebody, it affects how they become coming out of that match.
Oh wow, and I didn't pay attention to that.
So that's the thing. So like when he faced Seth, and he was choking him out with the hurt. Because of that, but the people are saying like that influenced Seth turning heel and becoming the Monday Night Messiah. with I think it was he used on Finn Balor, he used the heel, because he had the other glove, the heel glove, and he used the healing that. And that after that match is when Finn Balor was healed and went back to NXT and found himself again as the Prince and realized who he was. And so some people are saying that he put the, I think it was Hurt, he put Hurt, the Hurt glove is what he used on Roman, but he wasn't ever able to actually get the tap out. So Roman has only, while Roman has turned heel, he has only shifted partially back to the leaky persona that he had in NXT, where he wasn't wearing the vest when he was leaky. Now he's not wearing the vest anymore. And there are certain aspects of what the leaky person was that aren't being found in the tribal chief persona of Roman Reigns. So it's that those bits of having that corruptive juice of what it is that the Fiend is, I think that's really cool. I think that bringing him to Raw was a very smart decision, because you can't have somebody like him versus Roman Reigns on a large scale.
Show, yeah.
And those are two guys that they can't not face each other. They have to face each other just because of who they are. So I think him versus Drew McIntyre will be incredible down the road, or him versus Randy Orton, if Orton wins at Hell in a Cell, will be even better, because part of the reason why Bray became the Fiend was because he realized all of his previous mistakes and he realized things that held him down in the past. His WrestleMania match against Randy Orton back in 2016 was pretty bad. And now to be able to get a match like that with the roles reversed, same as with Sasha and Bayley, where now Randy will be the heel, Bray will be the face, but having this new persona of the Fiend, I think is going to be really interesting. That's why I'm actually pretty interested to see whether or not Hell in a Cell is when Randy finally takes the WWE Championship from Drew McIntyre.
It's very interesting. Speaking of Hell in a Cell, of course, Hell in a Cell, this Sunday, Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. You going with Randy on this one?
I'm going with Randy on it simply because I want to see what happens with Bray Wyatt.
Okay. That's really interesting. I don't think I want to see Randy Orton as champion again. I mean, like, I think WWE got this thing where, you know, they got to make everybody a 10-time world champion, and I don't think that's the need to do so. I think Randy is great. We've seen the work that he's done since Edge return and, you know, everything. So I think he will still be able, you know, to still be, you know, of course, still do his thing. I just feel as though, you know, Drew could keep the title. And then with everything as far as this pandemic goes on, you know, and, you know, he became champ when this pandemic, I feel bad for him, you know, like, even the Lakers, you know, he became champion when nobody was there, or maybe the Dodgers in baseball, or whoever, yeah. Tampa Bay, you know, so it's crazy, you know, you became champion at an odd time, so it's like, damn, do you feel bad for him, or do you not, though, so it's like, you know, but I'm a big fan of Drew, I love the whole change around, so I'm excited, you know, I didn't like how Raw ended. You know, with Randy Orton just, I think, you know, Drew coming to the ring and just closing the sale. I understand it was a tease, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Or Drew. Bray Wyatt versus Orton. Drew. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds really good. Another thing happened on Monday Night Raw I was excited for. He returned last week, though, is Elias. Really, really excited for Elias. He's back. AJ Styles got a big heavy man, and don't look like nobody want to play with him, man. That's really interesting. Speaking of heavy man, Dabba Kato is now on Monday Night Raw. For those who don't know what Dabba Kato is, have you seen WWE's main event on Netflix? He was
I haven't.
Yeah, he was a main character in the movie. He didn't really say nothing, but yeah, he was the main character in the movie. Keith Lee and everybody was in that. Speaking of Keith Lee, I'm really digging what Keith Lee and Braun Strowman is doing right now. Even though Braun Strowman got the win over Keith Lee this past Monday, I don't like what they're doing with Keith Lee. You know, of course, if they were going to bring him up to Monday Night Raw. And, you know, I don't know if you heard about the story with his theme song that someone wanted to use. They wanted more money for his theme song. And
something like that.
And they wanted to use the WWE Thunderdome for like a nightclub. So Triple H said no. Now he said no. So fuck it, we'll figure it out. He'll come up with his own theme song. So, you know, and then ever since he's been on Raw, he kind of like, you know, I don't know. But I know the sky is the limit for Keith Lee. Really, sky's the limit. But are you guys, man?
Well, he's limitless. So
yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. But you guys, man, before we wrap it on up, we're going to move on to some AEW real quick, man. AEW this past week was really good. The part that stuck out to me, because people were talking about it throughout the week before Dynamite, was the Eddie Kingston promo that he pulled after Dynamite went off the air to Jon Moxley. Very good, man. Like I was also mentioned earlier on the podcast, Eddie Kingston is a guy that I really like. A lot of people kind of shitted on him a little bit. When he first debuted in AEW, was like, who is this guy? Like, you know, he took on Cody his first night and for TNT in the TNT championship match. So, you know, once I saw Eddie Kingston, I was like, yeah, man, that guy's going to be something, because I was really digging him and still is, but I was really digging him NWA. So, Eddie Kingston taking on Jon Moxley at a Full Gear and I Quit match. So, that's going to be a dope match, man. Dope match. We got to talk about what happened on Wednesday night between Chris Jericho and MJF. We got to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. Is it one of the best moments in wrestling history? I seen in the comments on AEW Instagram, man, and everybody was loving it. Some people didn't like it. Some people very loved it. I didn't know what the hell I was watching, but man, I enjoyed it. John, what about you?
I enjoyed it as well. I thought, I think what was good about it was two things. One, every time we have seen Jericho and MJF in a promo or in some kind of situation where they're talking to each other, we know how it goes. They talk at each other. There's the, do you want to join the, do you want me to join? Like all that back and forth. So coming into it, there we kind of was like, okay, we know what we're going to get. We love what we're going to get because it's been great every time. So, all right. But instead of giving us that, because AEW knew that we could get that, they took a twist on it. And they presented us with, I don't know, a Tony Award winning performance. I didn't know MJF could sing like that. I mean, Jericho, I have to assume, because he's a front man of a band. So he's got pipes. But MJF, like where is this coming from?
The dude is gold, man. He's gold, man. Like, I love how last week he called him sort of wannabe, maybe kind of, hypothetically.
Like, you know, I think about. So I think, yeah, like just how they play off of each other was really great, especially because when they were doing the back and forth about ordering the steaks more and more progressively rare. Once Max said, I'm ordering it rare, I looked over at my girlfriend. I'm like, is Jericho going to just to prove a point, go blue, like go blue rare? And sure enough, Jericho was like, I want it to be blue, bleeding, and just like make it as bloody as you can. Like just the level of one-upsmanship that they want to go through to try to beat the other is, I think, really great. And I'm in, like, automatically makes me want to watch that town hall meeting that they're going to have next week, where they decide whether or not MJF is going to be able to join the inner circle. Like, I think that's really good. I don't know. I think it's a little, I don't know if I want them to have a match at Full Gear. Because easily that segment can turn into a match announcement for Full Gear, which is going to be like a week or so later. And a part of me doesn't want that. A part of me wants it to be like, let it breathe a little bit more, especially because Sammy is going to be up against Matt Hardy. So like, I don't know, part of me just wants to let Inner Circle focus on other things and let Jericho, MJF keep doing their thing. Sammy's going to be focusing on Hardy, because I don't know. Part of me wants that for maybe like a December, not a pay-per-view, because I think their next pay-per-view will be February Revolution, but maybe like just a special NXT episode. They can have something like that and then maybe build and just tease us and just keep teasing us. And I said special NXT episode, special AEW episode, and just continue to build that out. I don't know. Part of me wants them to save it, but we'll see what happens. Either way, I'm going to be watching. Like that's, How do I turn down another potential musical number?
Hey, you're right about that. Right about that. Real quick, what's your thoughts on why Santana and Ortiz haven't got a shot at the AEW World Tag Team titles yet?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's a really good question. I think I don't know if they're saving them for,
because Jericho and Jaeger are supposed to be teaming up to go after the tag team titles.
Yeah,
they got a tag team in the Inner Circle of Santana and Ortiz. I want to know, like, you know,
I think maybe that's going to be. See, so here's the thing: AEW, the creatives, which is Kenny, the Bucks, Cody, they have learned booking from two very different styles of booking. And I think what they do is they bring everything together. They combine both of those styles. So they know, because of Jericho and Cody, they know the WWE style of booking, how to make things super entertaining and how to make things over the top and have that entertainment feel. However, on the flip side, Kenny, the Bucks, and Cody also know how to book like Gedo, the head booker of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Gedo's booking style is something where he will sow the seeds for different things to happen, but the payoff won't be for a year or even 2 years down the road. So for example, a great way to kind of showcase this is when Kenny and Hangman Adam lose the titles to FTR, Kenny says, I'm going to go and be a solo, like, single star. And when the announcement happens that this tournament's going to take place and Adam forces his way into the tournament because he's, you know, trying to get back at Kenny or whatever the first case may be, Kenny is sitting there as it slowly turning heel. And he says, you know, I didn't even know that Adam wanted to be a single star. Why would the AEW world title mean anything to him? But think about it. If you go back, who was it that Jericho beat to become the AEW champion? It was Hangman. Adam was the one who had the potential to be the star. And then on top of that, how did Jericho get into that match in the first place? He got into that match because he beat Kenny Omega at Double or Nothing. And finally, at Double or Nothing, who was it who debuted who beat the crap out of Kenny Omega? John Moxley. So dating all the way back to May of 2019, they have sown the seeds for what's happening now. In Kenny's mind, if he beats Hangman in this tournament to be able to face Moxley, he's proving that he's better than Adam, and he's proving that Adam is not really a single star the way that Adam tried to be and then lost himself and became drunk and all that kind of stuff. And then when he faces John Moxley, he can rectify a mistake or rectify something that happened years ago. So to what we're talking about with Santana and Ortiz, them not getting a title shot for all this time could actually be how they are sowing the seeds for how the Inner Circle breaks up. Because Santana and Ortiz could then get upset and say, Chris, Jake, why are you guys trying to take our shine as being the tag team of Inner Circle? And Jericho's like, well, I'm the champion. I can do whatever I want. And then Santana and Ortiz says, well, you can only do that if we let you, because you can't mess with people who ultimately have pride and are powerful.
Man, you good. You good. You real good. And not only that, man, you just reminded me of something that Cody said in the beginning of, you know, AEW, when it, you know, first came together, when he was saying that how AEW is booked 6 months already in advance. And from what you just said, I believe it. I definitely believe that. And you know, of course, Hangman was the one who did lose against Jericho, and Jericho did beat Kenny to get in. Everything do make sense. That makes sense, man. Speaking of tag teams, Lucha Bros faced each other one-on-one in competition this past week on Dynamite. One of the Lucha Bros, they got really hurt real bad, though. But, you know, he won. I don't know, was that Rey Fenix?
Yeah, Phoenix.
You know, that seemed like a real – he landed on his head or somewhat, but sold it pretty well. Dope matchup, that was. But to end the night, we had a fatal four-way match, the Young Bucks, Private Party, the Butcher, and the Blade. And it was another tag team. Which tag team that was?
Reynolds and Silver from the Dark.
Yeah, there you go. Young Bucks win. So they're going to be taking on FTR at Full Gear, which was a cool matchup. You see Tully Blanchard come out there and attack Young Bucks. I'm looking forward to Full Gear. FTR is the best tag team right now in wrestling. They're killing it. AEW is doing their thing. So I'm excited for the town hall next week between Jericho and MJF, man. Really excited. Yeah. But before we wrap it up, man, anything else you want to say, man? And shout out you want to give out? And also, we can catch Tom Power and True Bill Heat Podcast.
Sure, absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having True Heels on the 1130 podcast. We appreciate it. You guys can find us on YouTube. You just search True Heels or True Heel Heat. You can find us on Instagram at True Heel Heat and on Twitter at True Heel Heat. We have our own Facebook group as well. Just you search True Heels there. We have, I think the community is about 4,000 members now, so it's a big, strong, growing, vibrant community. We want everybody to be part of this thing that we call professional wrestling. You know, we are a family, and we try to incorporate everybody's perspective, everybody's opinion. It's a melting pot. We put everything together. You just let it all simmer together, and you see how it comes out. There are things that you're saying, talking about Hurt Business, dealing with Kofi and New Day that I didn't think of. But then at the same time, I'm telling you about things that happened with Mustafa Ali and New Day that you didn't remember as well. So it's everybody's coming together. These moments that we're able to share on these podcasts are just incredible. Dark Power, you can catch me covering everything from Dark, Impact, and NWA on that same YouTube channel. So yeah, appreciate you having me, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. You're welcome anytime, man. As soon as we get off, I'm going to set up a date for to have you back on, man, because the incident was very, very dope. And now when I watch the Hurt Business or the New Day, I'm going to look at it, you know, the way you was just saying it. So I'm not even going to look at it like, okay, the Hurt Business maybe going to be feuding with the New Day. No, I'm going to be looking at it like Mustafa Ali now. So in the whole AEW, I like that. I like talking to other wrestling fans who could, you know, show me something, you know. So it's all cool, man. Once again, I appreciate you, John, a.k.a. the Stat King, man, from Power Dark, the True Hill Heat podcast. You're welcome anytime here on the 1130 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling.
Appreciate it, man.
Yo, John, man, what a dope episode, man. What a dope episode. Man, your insight is off the chart, man. From the story, from the New Day and the Street Profits, man, everything, man. Your insight was wonderful. I enjoyed talking to you, man. You're welcome here on the 1130 podcast, Talk Pro Wrestling, man. Anytime, man. Anytime. So now when I see the New Day in the Hurt Business, I'm gonna be looking at everything a little different now, man. So I love chatting with wrestling fans, that opened my eyes up to something that I didn't see, you know, and vice versa, man. So once again, shout out to True Heel Heat Podcast. Go subscribe to their YouTube channel. Check them out, man. They dope, man. Great guest, man. You're welcome anytime. My man, John, you're welcome anytime. And once again, shout out to True Heel Heat Podcast. But you guys, man, yo, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast, man, on all social media platforms. Follow the 1130 Podcast on Twitter at Dre on Wheels. Follow me on Instagram at the 1130 Podcast. Follow the 1130, like the 1130 Podcast on Facebook. And you gotta subscribe to the 1130 Podcast on YouTube, you did. And if you enjoy listening to Talk Pro Wrestling on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, man. A 5-star rating and a review. I appreciate it so much, man, for real. And if you would like to be a guest here on the 1130 Podcast, email me, the1130podcast@gmail.com. That's the1130podcast@gmail.com. Or just DM. For real, man. And once again, my man, John, a.k.a. The Stat King from True Hill Heat Podcast, thank you for joining me here this week. And you guys, man, yo, next week is going to be a, man, it's going to be my biggest guest to date, you guys. Ring of Honor's Shane Taylor. Yes, Ring of Honor's Shane Taylor will be joining me here on the 1130 Podcast next week, you guys. My biggest guest to date. So you guys don't miss it, man. For real, follow me. For real, man. Tune in, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you don't miss this episode. It's going down next week, man. It's your man Dre, a.k.a. Dre on Wheels. And I'm out, man.